This is Colorado Matters from Colorado Public Radio. I'm Ryan Warner. Being in such an outdoorsy state, it's not uncommon for us to cover stories about athletic victories, a first ascent, some shattered record. Today, though, a story about falling short. Boulder explorer Eric Larson recently had to bail on his bike ride across Antarctica to the South Pole.
There's not a second goes by that I don't feel some sort of deep, hanging regret about my decision. But in my mind, I know that it was the right decision to make.
That's from an audio diary Larson kept during his trek. A little context here, he often reaches his goals with plenty of successful adventures like summiting Everest. But we're interested in exploring what it's like to have an expedition fail. We caught up with Larson just after he'd landed back in Denver. Eric, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
You were riding a bike to the South Pole. Why would you do that?
Well, for me personally, I've always had a really strong love affair with bicycles, but it always came at a little bit of cost, which was a direct conflict with my other love affair, which was very cold places. And when the opportunity arose to combine the two, I really jumped at it.
Well, let's talk about combining the two, because, you know, in my own life, if there is snow or any amount of ice on the ground, I just don't go out on my bike. but you somehow developed a way to bike some of the coldest conditions on this planet.
Yeah, I think there are quite a few people like me who really love bicycles. And I remember probably around 10 years ago, I was living in northern Minnesota, and we would take our mountain bikes out on the lakes in the springtime after the snow all melted. And I remember that feeling of riding on lake ice, a place where bicycles just weren't really supposed to be. And to me, that was a really unique experience and something that I really enjoyed as someone who likes all types of riding. And as time progressed, I think other people felt that way, and a whole new category of bicycles was developed, which are basically called fat bikes, which look like normal mountain bikes, but they have large rims with really wide, nearly 5-inch tires on them.
Are the tires studded? I know that that can sometimes create traction on ice.
These particular ones are not. Most of them are just knobby tires that you run at very low pressure, so they're really suited to riding on snow and then a little bit of ice as well.
And then, of course, you're suited up for the cold as well, so you're not exactly biking in shorts.
No, you know, Antarctica is one of the most extreme environments on the planet. It's the coldest, windiest, and driest place on Earth. And so to be able to travel there and to be able to travel comfortably really requires a lot of specific gear just to be able to be there and survive and not get in any more dangerous situations than there already are.
I'm surprised that in those cold conditions, like the oil, the brake, all those systems continue to function.
Well, I did get the bike worked on by a local bike shop in Boulder to make sure that all those things would really tolerate the cold relatively well. And I had synthetic grease added and synthetic oil that was really good to, you know, minus 60 or 70.
Well, now that we have a sense for this journey, and let me say you started in Antarctica at the edge and your idea was to go to the pole. We're not talking about biking from Denver to the South Pole. But how close did you come?
Yeah, well, a lot of people don't really know much about Antarctica. I mean, they know it's a cold and icy place, and they know that penguins live there. But in reality, most of the life in Antarctica is around the perimeter, and to bike to the South Pole really requires just an adventure in getting to Antarctica, flying down through South America, flying over to a base in Antarctica, landing literally on a blue ice runway, a 5-kilometer-long glacier, and then from there, flying over to the edge of the continent, a place called Hercules Inlet. And from that point to the geographic South Pole in a relatively straight line is around 730 miles.
Okay.
I was able to ride about a quarter of that distance, which is 82.5 degrees south.
Why'd you turn around?
Well, in reality, it was due to the simple fact that the quality of the snow this year in Antarctica just made travel nearly impossible. It was just too soft, and I just ended up getting bogged down on my bike. So versus pedaling, I ended up walking quite a bit.
You weren't moving as fast then, of course, as you were envisioning.
Yeah, it was a pretty simple calculation. I needed to be traveling about three, and not even very fast, I needed to be traveling about 3 or 4 miles per hour, and I was averaging around 2 or 2.5 miles per hour. And so judging kind of how I was using my food and supplies and the amount of actual time that I had, it was a pretty easy estimate to know that I would make it about halfway to the pole or maybe 2/3 of the way if I was lucky.
That is, if you wanted to eat.
If I wanted to eat and if I wanted to sleep. And so rather than risking rescue, what I decided to do was basically turn around and head back to the point in which I started.
Yeah, you had to calculate in that sense a point of no return, really.
Yeah, and I kind of had those calculations involved in my initial planning and preparations. Obviously, I was planning to be successful. I wasn't necessarily planning to not make it all the way.
Let me ask you about that. I mean, you have plenty of successes under your belt, so I don't feel badly when I say, what is it like to fail?
Well, I probably have more failures than I do successes, so it's actually a pretty familiar feeling. You know, the thing about doing big expeditions in remote places and things that nobody has ever done before is that the risk is generally really high. And the failure rate is also really high. And for me, that's just the nature of what I do. That said, coming back, having to have an interview talking about failure versus success, that's difficult. We're a culture that celebrates first place and the best. And so second best or a good effort don't necessarily occupy people's imagination as much.
And yet there is also a culture, I feel, of like everyone gets a medal. You're all winners, you know? I don't know, like square those two.
There is, but it might be for fifth graders in spelling bees or something like that. You know, my life is partly and professionally based on doing unique things and being successful. So I have a lot of explaining to do. I work with a lot of companies who invested a lot in me and my dreams. And so there is a pretty definitive line in whether you've accomplished your goal or not. That said, for me, my journeys are really more about telling a story, and I could be riding around in Antarctica till I'm blue in the face, and it would still be as meaningful an experience for me.
Well, the question is, will you try this again?
You know, I can't answer that question right now. I am in love with Antarctica, and I'm in love with bicycles. And I would like to go back and do it. Am I ready to kind of stake my life savings and a couple years of my life on this trip again? I'm not sure. I have a family and a young son who's now 3 months old. And I've been in Antarctica for now 4 of the last 5 Christmases and New Year's. So that's kind of my primary focus right now. But I have a lot of other expeditions and a lot of other great stories to tell that are upcoming.
Other adventures to be had. Like child rearing. Yeah. Eric Larson, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you. I appreciate the opportunity.
Boulder adventurer Eric Larson. His upcoming projects include something he calls a year of extremes, which may involve open water Arctic surfing. You can see pictures of his attempted Antarctic bike ride at cpr.org.